Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy and I'm inviting you to join me each and every week so together we can win the battle for business. And as always, thanks so much for sharing some of your time with me today. Now, as you know, in winning the battle for business, I often talk about how to create winning, amazing sales cultures and sales teams. And we talk so much about marketing and branding. And we talk so much about customer service, all of the key things that you think about when it comes to winning the battle for business. But today, there is an important factor that I'm going to be discussing that we must address. And it is a factor that's been stigmatized for far too long. And if we don't address this factor, it'll have a real negative impact on our ability to win the battle for business. So that's why I'm going to bring it up today. And you might be thinking, well, what is Tim talking about? It's stigmatized. It's not sales. It's not marketing. It's not branding. It's not customer service. What is this, Tim? And it's one very simple word, anxiety. And it's anxiety in the workplace. And yes, it has been and continues to be to this very day a stigmatized topic, one that a lot of owners and managers either don't want to talk about or don't know how to talk about. And even before the pandemic, the rising level of employees who were dealing with anxiety in the workplace were some pretty staggering numbers. Then, of course, we're just coming out of the pandemic, and those numbers have only been made worse because of the 16-month COVID economy that we've been trudging through. Since this is a very important topic, and it's a topic that doesn't get enough, in my opinion, enough conversation, enough coverage, and yet it is one to me that is critically important. Because let's face it, if you have one employee who's dealing with anxiety at work, it will absolutely be impacting their performance. And there's a very good likelihood that could be impacting the performance of their team or if they're a manager of the people that they manage. So now that I've got your attention, I want to introduce you to today's guest, and he's one of the absolute experts globally. He's coming back to the show for a second time to talk about his brand new book. He is Chester Elton, and his brand new book is Anxiety at Work. And it is an amazing topic, and he's probably, in my opinion, one of the best people to talk about this topic because I think the stats, Chester will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was last year or maybe the year before, the impact of loss of productivity in the U.S. because of workplace anxiety was $40 billion. So there's much to talk about, and who better to do it with than Chester Elton. Chester, welcome aboard the Profit Express. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Tim. Thanks so much for the invite. You know, I love spending time with you. I love your passion. I love your commitment to, you know, making things better. As you know, from the last time I was on the show, I grew up in sales. I get the anxiety and the stress of building businesses like that. So thank you for loaning me your platform to talk about what you so eloquently introduced as that stigmatized thing that nobody wants to talk about and yet yes. is there for pretty much everybody.
It's funny because, well, it's not funny. I guess it's funny because it is stigmatized and it's 2021. It's not like it's 1980 or 1990. But what I would like to do, let me start the conversation off with this. So in reading through the book, again, the book is Anxiety at Work, you tell what is a very interesting and a very timely story of yourself and your co-author, Adrian. You guys were at a conference, I believe it was in Arizona, and this was February of 2020 when it was all hitting the fan. Take us back to that time because the timing was eerie. What was that story all about?
Yeah, you know, and thank you for bringing that up. You know, Adrian and I have been writing on this topic for 20 years now, culture and leadership and teams and so on. And actually, before I jump in, I want to point out that we've always been Gostick and Elton in our books. You know, Lennon and McCartney was the goal, right? Gostick and Elton, Lennon and McCartney. This book is actually Gostick, Elton, and Gostick. If you'll notice, we brought in Adrian's son, Anthony Gostick, and gave us a wonderful generational view on anxiety in the workplace and those differences. Well, back to the story. So we're presenting and the news is buzzing through everybody's phones. Like we're the wrap-up speakers, right? We're supposed to end on a high note, right?
Yeah.
It's gonna be all about gratitude and everybody's all excited. There we are. We've got our frisbees and carrots and it's gonna be positive. And you can just see it go around the room. Phones are just blowing up and people are like freaking. Now, the conference was really good in the fact that they had, you know, some hand sanitizer and stuff, but that was before like everybody had it. And it became really obvious that what we were going to present wasn't going to be of interest to anybody, you know. And so we really pivoted and we said, look, we understand what's going on. This is a cultural issue. Let's talk about what's happening. How can we deal with it? Mm-hmm. And it was phenomenal how you saw people's anxiety levels kind of come down and kind of key in and kind of go, oh, yeah, we need to pay attention. And then let's freak out and get to the airport and get all the wipes wiped down the plane and try to get home. So it was one of those moments that really was pivotal for us. And even though and that was right when we were launching our book, Leading with Gratitude.
Right.
That right. It became really apparent that if we didn't address anxiety, you know, the ghost in the room, so to speak, the skeleton in the closet, whatever analogy you want to use, that people were going to really struggle in maintaining their cultures, even building a culture they wanted, and make people not just physically safe, make them emotionally safe in the workplace.
So you did a great job as presenters, because you talk about pivoting at a live performance. We're going to talk about gratitude. It's like, well, we have this pandemic washing up on our shores. Maybe we should really talk about anxiety and go from there. I'm a visual guy, and I think that's a great way to get people's attention, to get the listeners' attention. Can you draw a visual, because I know you did a great job in the book, of the percentages, and you also talk a lot about the generations, you know, the baby boomers, millennials, and Gen X, kind of before the pandemic, as far as how, what percentage of the generations were affected by anxiety, and then how it's been affected, what are the numbers now?
Yeah, great question, and of course that was the basis for the book. You know, Adrian and I have a pretty standard formula. We've got a massive database of over 1 million engagement surveys. We've got our own motivators assessment. We have over 100,000 people that have taken that, along with countless interviews and executive coaching that we've done. So we took a real hard look, said, look, pre-pandemic in 2018, people that would admit that they had some kind of anxiety disorder. So we all suffer from anxiety a little bit, right?
Sure.
A disorder is, it's preventing me from doing my job. And it was about 18%. So visualize, you know, 1 in 5, mm-hmm. 1 in 5. Middle of 2020, survey comes out again. Now it's 30%. It's almost doubled. It's almost doubled, right? Then what was fascinating is when you broke down the generational divide and you took a look and you said, workers in their early 20s, early 30s, it went from 30% up to 42%. Now you're talking, you know, 1 in 5, 3 in 10, 4 in 10, you know, and then the shocking number was in millennials and Gen Z, 75% said that they had recently left a job due to a mental disorder or episode. 75%. That's a staggering number.
It's almost hard to believe that number could be that high, that it impacted them and it caused them, or was the root cause, the main cause for them leaving an employment.
It was for mental health. Now, here's where Anthony played such a key role. And it was hilarious to talk to him because, you know, he's talking to his dad. And I've known Anthony, Tony, since he's a little kid.
Sure.
And so he says to us, he says, hey, you old guys. I go, thanks for that, Tony. You old guys. You old guys, you don't talk about this at all. He says, you've got to understand, my generation, it's all we talk about. Yeah. We talk about it all the time. And think about the difference in how they grew up. Look, I'm the tail end of the baby boomers, right?
Right.
Our approach to anxiety was suck it up, rub some dirt on it, get back in the game. You know, like if we were in a game and we got knocked out, everybody laughed. They gave you smelling salts and put you back in.
Right. Well, concussions didn't exist back then. Yeah.
Right. Concussions. Right. I mean, that was a highlight film. If you got knocked out, you were going to be on TV, you know?
Right.
So it was really interesting. And he said, you got to understand that when you guys went through school, the worst thing you worried about was what were the girls saying about me, or, you know, did I wear the right jeans? He said, we go to school and we have active shooter drills. you know, we go to college and we're wondering what the sight lines from the bell tower are. We go to a movie and we try to figure out what's the fastest way out of here. So, you know, that was stuff that I never, ever dealt with.
Yeah.
And I will tell you a personal story.
Yeah.
So I'll never forget this. Adrian and I were working for a bigger company when we started to write our books and stuff. And I was in charge of a sales territory. You know, I was a regional manager. Then they made us managing directors, same job, just cooler title. Right. and we're writing books and we're developing products, and I've still got my quotas in my sales territory. So I was literally doing three jobs at a certain point. And I will never forget. I live in Jersey, right? I'm going down the Turnpike. The Garden State Parkway.
Right.
And I'm talking to one of my best friends in the company, who's the CHRO, Kay Jorgensen. We're still fast friends.
Right.
And I start talking to her about my workload and the stuff and my quotas and the books and the ba-ba-ba, bada-bing, bada-boom. It's Jersey, right? And she says, Chester, you need to take some time off. And I want to get you some counseling. I said, what are you, nuts? Absolutely not. She goes, why? It's all confidential. I go, okay, it's never confidential. And if you think I can take a couple of weeks off and nobody find out why I'm not showing up,
right?
You're kidding yourself.
Right.
I'm not going to get the promotion. I'm not going to get the sweet deal. They're it will follow me for the rest of my career. She says, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to do what any great salesman does. I'm going to ram those emotions down deep and let them fester until I die of an ulcer. Right. And that
I know what you're talking about.
It's my generation. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, here's what happened. And unfortunately, a lot of us come around to this through personal experience and trauma. Mm-hmm. One of my boys started to deal with anxiety, couldn't get up, couldn't get to go to school. And I'm telling you, Tim, I made every mistake a father can possibly make. Right. Suck it up. There's millions of kids getting up and going to school today. Be one of them. Slap a smile on that face. You know, turn that frown upside down. You know, all this stuff.
Right, right, yeah.
And finally, we finally admitted that we were in over our heads. This is my wife and I. And we started to get some counsel. We got some good counselors. And I thought, you know what? We have been so stupid. This is a health issue. This doesn't need to be stigmatized. If he'd broken his leg and needed time off from school, we'd say, absolutely, we'll take you to a doctor, put a cast on that thing, take right. your time. We want to make sure we get this right. Somehow somebody comes up and says, you know what, boss, I'm overwhelmed. I'm trying to homeschool my kids. I got a mom that hasn't had a hug in 6 months, and we're freaking out. I need a mental break.
So you mentioned, again, this book is Gostick, Elton, and Gostick, and the second Gostick being Adrian's son, Anthony. And he brings a unique generational perspective that you and Adrian don't have, obviously. And, you know, as you're describing your experience as a sales manager, you know, let me just bury my emotions under the surface. I'm relating to it because I'm pretty much I'd be doing the same thing.
Of course.
So now, but here's the thing that I really have a hard time understanding. So now we're in 2021. Why do you think, in all the research that you guys have done, why is it that anxiety is still stigmatized, especially in the workplace?
Because there's still so many guys in my generation that are running stuff. And there's still the stigma that even though you can say generationally it's different, it's not everybody in that generation. And you've got lots of entrepreneurs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as an entrepreneur, you can't have a bad day. You're the guy, you're the gal that's lifting everybody up.
Right.
So there's the pressure there to be superhuman, right? And as much as the younger generations may talk about it, make no mistake about it, there's still a stigma there. There absolutely is. And so what do you do rather than talk about it? You change jobs. You move.
Hoping it would get better. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. I'll move. I'll give myself a little bit of a break. I'll hit it hard again. And then when it builds up to a point, I'll move again. You know, my generation, if you had five jobs, wow, you were a job hopper. Boy, there was no loyalty there. You know, this generation, if they have 15, 16 jobs, nobody cares. Like nobody cares. And here's what's really interesting. You talk about the stigma. One more data point. I won't, you know, give you an avalanche of numbers here. Only one in 10 employees, even now in 2021, only one in 10 feel safe talking to their immediate supervisor about anxiety or mental health. 1 in 10. Now, we've just said 75% have left the job. 40%, 42% are dealing with some kind of anxiety disorder. And yet only 1 in 10 trusts their boss enough to say, hey, I need a break. So what do we talk about in the book? 3 things. You got to normalize the conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a health issue, right? Break your leg, break your brain, same thing. You know, take some time off.
Right.
Secondly, you got to destigmatize it. And the best way to do that is step 3, empathize. So normalize, destigmatize, empathize. What creates an emotionally safe place for a lot of people suffering from anxiety or overburdened stress, whatever it might be, is when the leader shares her or his story that said, hey, I get, you know, we're all working remotely for, as an example. And I get that when you're on camera, everything looks great, man. I mean, you got a great camera. I love the backdrop. It's always funny when you put that cat face on, you know, and you're always upbeat. And it's great. The camera shuts off or you step out of that frame. We don't know what's going on. We don't know if you've got kids melting down.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's, we call it the duck syndrome in the book. You know, you see those ducks, those swans on the, and they go, man, they're so elegant. Look at that. Not a care in the world. Just gliding, you know, and underneath, what are they doing? They're paddling like mad, right? They're paddling like mad. And we do this digitally. Our Facebook life is amazing. Every vacation is 5-star. Our children are all beautiful and speak 5 languages before they're 6 years old, you know. And yet the reality is, and so when leaders do the one-on-one, if you're working for me, I call you up and I say, hey, Tim, listen, I have noticed. I would never call you up and say, hey, Tim, you're suffering from anxiety, aren't you? I knew it, right? That'll get HR all over you in a heartbeat, right?
Right.
Say, look, I've just noticed a few things that they're just seemed a little out of character. You're kind of showing up late. You never show up late. Your reports are not as detailed as they used to be. Let me tell you something. I'm having a tough time too. And I don't know if you are or not. I just want to tell you that off camera, my house is a mess. Right? We can't bring in cleaning people. They don't think it's safe. You know, our kids are here all the time. We can't do kids. And what I'm saying is when you become vulnerable and tell your story and you empathize, I crawl down in that deep, dark hole with you and say, you are not alone. You are not alone. That's worth it.
I think a lot of, you have a manager or an owner who's listening or a manager owner who's reading your book, Anxiety at Work. Again, today's guest, Chester Elton, co-author of the book. And they're hearing this and saying, wow, this is a real problem. They could be 4 out of 10 people in my workplace who are dealing with it. Maybe only 1 in 10 is going to come to me. It's going to impact performance. Wow, what do I do? And then, you know, there's HIPAA, there's those considerations. You don't want to step into a HR minefield, right? So, and I just want to kind of reiterate this. I want to make sure I'm understanding it and, you know, and then for the audience. So we can't say, hey, Bob, man, you look like you're riddled with anxiety. So we don't want to go down that path. So it's really just kind of highlighting the performance, you know, with their performance with a report or handing it in late and then talking about that and then kind of sharing. And then I guess that's where the empathy comes in, what you've been dealing with as well, and hoping it comes to the surface. Is that kind of the direction we want managers to go in?
Yes. And let me tell you, for all you leaders out there, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Chester, stop. I've got crushing quotas.
Yeah.
I've got people, I got a higher retention. Now you want me to be the father confessor. You want me to be a psychiatrist, a psychologist. And actually the answer to that is no. Here's what I want you to do. And everybody can do it. Watch for changes in behavior. Sometimes we write it, oh, that's a one-off. The guy never loses his temper. They're just having a bad day. Don't worry about it. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to call up just a one-on-one, share a bit of your story, share about the mess that's your life. And they're not always going to come out right away. You got to build that trust. And then the one thing, look, and when it comes time where they're going to say, hey, you know what, Tim, you're right. I'm struggling. I may need a little time off. There's this, and this. They don't expect you to have all the answers. Here's what they want you to do. They want you to listen. And we can all do that. We can all listen, step back. And I know for salespeople, that's sometimes hard, right? Because we've all got a pitch. Right? Just, hey, how are things going? is there anything I can do to help? I know in my family, we're dealing with a bunch of mess too. If you are, just know I'm here for you.
Right.
And listen.
Today on the Profit Express, it's a very important episode talking about anxiety at the workplace, which is growing in leaps and bounds, unfortunately. And just to take a quick moment, as a special thanks to our sponsor for today, Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. And please visit them at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. So thanks to them, of course, for bringing shows like this to you today. There's so much, Chester, that as, you know, as I've read the book, as we're talking right now, you know, I'm more of the generation and the mindset, rub some dirt on it, you're fine, it's not bleeding, a bone is not sticking out of your leg, go back into the game.
Right.
And I think there's some merit in that, there is. But I think, there's multi-generations in the workforce. The boomers who look at it very differently than the millennials and the Gen Xers, so that's one. And then you mentioned earlier, you know, millennials and Gen Xers are used to having active shooter drills. And when they walk into a movie theater, they walk into a public space, where's my point of exit? We've never had those considerations. And it's absolutely mind-blowing. And I think it's, you know, listen, I've dealt with my own anxiety. And, you know, I'm confessing it here on the Profit Express. And even for my wife, who I love dearly, and she's my greatest fan, and I couldn't ask for a better wife, it was hard for her to internalize it. And so when you bring up the example, and if nothing else, if people get this, I think it's a home run, Chester. And I told my wife when I had anxiety, because I go to the gym a lot, and when I was really dealing with some anxiety a number of years ago, she's like, go to the gym, just go to the gym. And I said, hon, I'd love to. And I said, I wish I had a broken leg. It would be a lot easier than anxiety.
Exactly. Exactly. Let me share a story with you and with your listeners that I think sums up really what you were going through. He's become a good friend of mine. In fact, a dear friend. His name is Chris Rainey. And he's got a great conference company out of the UK. HR Leaders is his brand. And mm-hmm. of course, when COVID hit, he pivoted to online and did it brilliantly. And if you were to meet Chris Rainey, you'd think there's a guy who's never had a bad day in his life. And that's the happiest guy I've ever met. The fact is since he was a little kid, he suffered from anxiety. And we talk about we get good at hiding it.
Yeah.
That's why 1 in 10. And by the way, there are people that suffer from, you would never guess, suffered from anxiety. They get really good at hiding it. And he said, what my anxiety did is it made me a liar. I'd say, not coming in, upset stomach, think I got a touch of the flu. That wasn't it. He was overwhelmed. Family events, got to leave early, not feeling well, got a work thing, got to go. It's really present. It's a big deal. Yeah. So he's got a podcast, HR Leaders. Now, he'd hidden it from his best friend. They'd known each other since they were 1 year old, who became his business partner. From his wife, his family, everybody. No one had a clue. So he's on this, his own podcast, HR Leaders, right? He's interviewing the CHRO of a big pharma company. And the topic is anxiety. And he forgets where he is. Now, this is pre-pandemic. He's doing the podcast in his offices. And his team, it was an open, you know, architecture.
Sure.
They're all there. And they loved to listen to the podcast. You know, because then who's on the podcast? What are the stuff, trends and all that? He admits on the podcast, he says, you know, and I've suffered anxiety my whole life. I've hidden it from everybody I love and know.
Was that the first time? Sudden,
yes. And he occurs to him, where am I? I'm. So he says, we wrap up the podcast and I'm afraid to turn around. He turns around and his whole staff, big eyed, big mouth. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like you?
Yeah.
And he said, and then the most beautiful thing happened. They all came up to him. And they said, hey, Chris, me too. Me too. And he said, that's when I realized that people that love you and care about you, they will rally. And the people that don't, what do you care what they think?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it was so interesting. He said, and then as soon as his family, oh, Chris, you know, they'd be the thing. Hey, listen, if this is too much and you got to duck out, don't worry about it. I got your back. you know? And he said, now for him, this is what happened. It doesn't happen for everybody. He said, when I finally came clean with everybody, I have yet to have another anxious episode. Now, I'm really careful. You mentioned it. For him, it's exercise, sleep, and eat well. He says, if I get my sleep, I exercise, and I eat well, I'm good. As soon as one of those starts to fade, I start to waver, and I know I've got to address it. Now, for other people, it's a longer journey. Everybody's a little different. For some people, it's meditation. If I get my meditation in the morning and the evening, I'm good. You know, they've got an ally. We talk about being an ally in the workplace. You know, sometimes you might be the only woman on the team, the only person whose English is their second language. You're the only Muslim on the team. You got to find a place three times a day to go pray.
Sure.
On and on and on. We've all felt like that other person. Well, here's where those one-on-ones are so important. Because, Tim, when I know your story, when I know where you came from, how you got here, and where you aspire to go, everything changes. Everything changes. As soon as people knew Chris Rainey's story, everything changed. He became very real to them. He suffered from the same stuff. He was no longer Superman, and that's okay. And that's okay, because none of us are.
We try to hide behind, and I was guilty of it. You know, have my own business in sales as well. You know, it's that veneer. It's the suit that you're putting on, the tie. You've got the image, the blah, 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 you know. But it's such BS. That's what it is. And I can say it because I live that, you know. And we all know if you've had anxiety, if you've done reading, or maybe you talk to a therapist, a counselor, what have you, talking about it is one of the best things. You try and – it's like – I love the analogy, Chester, when you try to take a beach ball and keep it under the water. It's always right. It's always trying to find its way to the surface. And that's anxiety. I mean, that's how I look at it. But
And then what do you do? You sit on it. Everybody goes, how's that guy floating in a sitting position? Right. So you're right. It's all smoke and mirrors, you know. And I'll tell you what's really interesting for you aspiring leaders out there. Adrian Gostick, my co-author, who I adore. We've become not just partners, but brothers, right? If you'd asked us 3 years ago, and we've done this in leadership groups, what were the characteristics of just great leaders? They'd go, oh, authentic, great communicator, painted the vision of where you needed to go. You talk to leadership gurus now, you know what they all say? There's only one attribute you got to have, and you got to have it, and it's empathy. Yeah. If you haven't got empathy right now, none of that other stuff matters. Isn't that interesting?
Well, because think about it, especially as baby boomers are exiting the workforce and it's larger and larger millennials and Gen Xers. And one of the things, I know you'd said it in the book, that they have their anxiety about is, you know, do I have a job?
Exactly.
Think about having that kind of weighing over your head on a consistent basis as you go to work every day, looking to give your best. Not a good place to be.
No, and here's what happens. And we've got a whole chapter on it that is one of my favorites. It's fascinating. Perfectionism. When you think your job's in jeopardy because you don't have a career path conversation, there's no career development, or your boss just isn't one of those bosses that shares much information. Mm-hmm. When you turn in a report or a project, if you don't get that immediate feedback that this is exactly what I'm looking for, you know what you do all weekend? You redo that report 5, 6, 7 times.
Yes.
And you know, we talk about perfectionism as the enemy of just getting stuff done, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So as leaders, be on the lookout for that, you know, be on the lookout for that and manage the expectations and say, look, this is the report I need. This is all I need. Okay. It doesn't need to be color coded. You know, it doesn't need to be in a 65 point PowerPoint presentation with sans serif, you know, type and, you know, and on and on. This is what I need. And when you get it, say, you know what? Perfect. Move on. There's good enough. There's great. And then the difference between great and perfect, the amount of effort that you've got to expend to get from great to perfect, as my brother Byron always says, that juice just isn't worth the squeeze. Move on.
I like that. That juice isn't worth the squeeze. And one thing, we have like about a minute or so left, but that you were talking about, you know, corporate America for so long has done the annual review, which I think it's becoming good for nothing at this point, perhaps. And you talk about it. Maybe we could just highlight it for a moment here. how much more effective it would be with, you know, on a one-on-one to have a weekly chat, just even if it's 5 minutes, you know, how are you doing? How are you feeling? You know, what do you want to share with me? I'm kind of paraphrasing, but I'd like to leave the listeners with that, because I think that would be a much more valuable way to begin to build a more effective relationship between manager and employee.
Absolutely. And a great point to end on, because, you know, one of my all-time favorite leaders is a guy named Scott O'Neill. Mm-hmm. Builds brilliant team. The point that Scott makes is one-on-ones, know your people's stories. And you get that with these little check-ins. Find out where they came from, how they got here, and what their aspirations are. And he says, right. You know what? You're going to find out that somebody on your team, you know what their aspiration is? They want to go to the moon. And you know what your job as a leader is? Help them get there.
Right.
Think about that. I'm checking in. I know where you came from. I know why you're here. You know what my expectations are. Not only that, I know what your dreams and aspirations are, and I'm here to help you get there. Who doesn't want to work for those guys? Who doesn't want to work in that kind of a culture? Right. And the last point I want to make, for those of you that are listening to this and you're not the one in 10, you don't feel safe about talking about it with your manager and your supervisor. Mm-hmm. Understand this. You are not alone. There are people that love you and care about you. You reach out to them. There's nothing worse than being in a deep, dark hole all by yourself. Find that ally. Find that person. We've got a wonderful online community called WeThriveTogether.global. Mm-hmm. It's a safe place to talk about anxiety. We've got a podcast called Anxiety at Work. We bring in experts. Find somebody to talk to. Find an ally. You are never alone. I promise you.
That is, you know, that's the way to end the interview. Because, yeah, when you think you're alone, when you're in that dark place, it's not pleasant. And again, you know, the book, again, Anxiety at Work, we have the co-author Chester Elton on today, obviously. And, you know, I'm glad I was able to do my part of the Profit Express, it continuing the conversation, hopefully helping to destigmatize it, maybe just a bit more. And it's just, are you healthy? You know, a broken leg and anxiety, look at it the same way and reach out. There's always somebody to talk to. Super critical stuff. Chester, thanks so much for being on board today.
Listen, always a pleasure to spend some time with you, Tim. You know, the ultimate compliment is you get invited back.
I wore orange in your honor.
You look fabulous.
As do you, sir. Thanks again. Much success with the book again, Anxiety at Work, Chester Elton. Thank you so much. This has been The Profit Express. You can follow us on Instagram at The Profit Express, on Twitter at Profit_Express, and make sure to listen and download each and every Wednesday as we're dropping new episodes, great ones like today with Chester Elton, of course. And until next time.